This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
It's the John and Gordy Show.
Do you know what this means?
Wouldn't you like to know, weather boy?
You're pretty high and far out, aren't you? What kind of kick are you on, son?
No good bastard. Your show sucks.
What made me think this was a good day to stop drinking?
Buddy, you want coffee?
Coffee.
Black coffee.
Coffee.
They warned us about people like you!
What a load of crap.
Thank you, sir. May I have another?
We'll do it live!
And that's the way it is.
On 92.7 FM WMDX. Take it away, boys.
Oh, I can't wait for this. I mean, we know when the fake electors crying in court. Oh, no.
All right. Well, we'll get to that.
There's a penalty for taking away our vote, or at least trying to.
Yeah. All right. We'll get to that moments from now. 7 minutes past the hour. It's cold this morning, 2 degrees. Highs in the mid-teens. This portion of the John and Gordy Show is brought to you by Verlo Mattress. Sleep better, dream bigger on a handcrafted Verlo mattress available on Madison's east side or west side or online at verlo.com. And now it's time to kick off today's grown-up gift list text to win contest. We do this every day, Monday through Friday. We'll continue next week as well. And then our grand prize drawing happens at the end of next week. But we do this during the 7 o'clock hour, 11 a.m., 1 p.m., 4 p.m. It's a statewide contest. And you just need the Civic Media app and text in these keywords.
Simple.
Okay?
It's simple.
It is. It's easy to do.
Except for the spellings.
What do you mean the spellings?
You got to spell the word correctly.
Really? Well, this hour's word is star. That's not very difficult to spell.
Is that two R's? Or
No, it's just one. It's just one R, S-T-A-R. You have until 8 o'clock, 8 o'clock this morning, to text us the word star. The prize up for grabs this time around is $100 cash, and we will have a winner by the end of the hour, okay? And then you're entered into the grand prize drawing, all kinds of great grand prizes. We have 8 grand prizes for the grown-up gift list, like robot vacuums, a humidifier, a couple of espresso machines, snowblower, a couple of luggage sets. And again, the hour's word, the key word for this hour is star. So get your texts in.
All right. That sounds great.
Okay.
All right, let's get to Jim Troupas.
We've heard his name a few times before.
You know, the fake electors scheme.
Oh, yeah,
and we've been waiting for the AG to come up with some kind of charges. Well, he has come up with 10.
10 charges?
Yeah. Isn't that so cool?
Oh, Merry Christmas.
Well, you know, Troupas had to appear in court yesterday, and he's facing felony charges. And it's a serious charge. So he accepted it like a man. Let's listen to Cut 78 here.
Okay.
Huh? My family and I have endured nonstop, vicious, and unrelenting savage attacks on my reputation, on my livelihood. My children have been interrogated. My long-held friendships and professional life have been destroyed. Not a day goes by that my wife does not worry that our home will be invaded.
It's your fault.
That our doors will be smashed down.
Your fault.
And government agents will come through those doors.
Your fault.
We had thought that this would end. The country asked for it to end in November.
Oh, yeah, just forget about
it. Lawfare, in all its despicable form,
lawfare
will not end in Wisconsin.
No.
The Attorney General has today doubled down on a vicious strategy to destroy our very faith in the system of justice.
No.
By using the courts for his own personal political gain.
Nope, don't think so.
Everyone here knows that.
No.
This is a political case.
It is?
This has nothing to do with the law. The Attorney General should be ashamed of himself.
Oh. Well, turn it around, you know. Oh, I'm sure he's just huddled away in a corner. The thing here is, you know, these people, they think you can just do anything they want, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Just get around the law, look for loopholes, try to get away with something like this. I mean, these guys went out and appeared like they were electors.
Right.
This wasn't based on, well, you know, if the election is called in some way, shape, or form, please use this. They didn't do any of that. They just wanted to make it seem like they were the electors from Wisconsin. He won't accept responsibility for it. He's whining and crying. Lawfare is going after him. Oh, boy, this is a political thing. Oh, you know, they just don't expect any kind of blowback. They have been shielded from this for years and years, especially with the gerrymandered legislature. They could do anything they wanted to.
Didn't they just form all these fake electors just in case there was a problem with the votes,
Again, they did not write that down. They just presented it like they were the electors.
Ah, yeah.
And now, facing the consequences and can't handle it and whines and cries and then, you know, talks about his wife being worried about the whole thing. Well, you should have thought about it before you wanted to throw away every one of our votes in the state. Yeah. My God, it's our vote.
Right.
This guy wanted to throw them in the trash can. And now he's whining that, you know, he's going to pay the price.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's too bad.
Do the crime, you got to do the time.
That's absolutely
sorry, buddy.
True, boy.
Yeah. Face the consequences.
And then another guy who's got a few criminal charges, but, you know, some...
Who's
have
this?
Been like, oh, we're talking about Matt Gaetz this case.
Is he looking for a new job?
He's got a job.
He does?
Yeah.
What's he going to do?
Right-wing media is already set up with propaganda networks that look like real news networks, but now they have hired Matt Gaetz. One America News is growing, and boy, you couldn't imagine anything like this, could you? This is Cut 70, Matt Gaetz.
Okay. Here we go.
I could not be more excited to join the One America News family. The best reporting, the best analysis, and the most in-depth coverage of the Trump administration is going to come from our team. I've got the sources. I've got the insights. And there is such a spirit of optimism to unlock the opportunity of America. There's no place that's going to cover it better than One America News.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Talk about a little hyped up. Too much coffee, maybe the booze machine. Who knows?
Oh, well, he's got a new job for the new year. Good for him.
Yeah,
good luck with that.
I think my brother, by the way, watches
really?
OAN. Yeah.
Hmm.
Boy.
I don't think I've ever seen it. I actually don't know.
How come we don't have our own networks? You know, a number of networks. The right wing has a bunch of them.
Get to it.
Yeah.
Well, start one. Why don't you?
Well, actually, we've started one here, right? Civic Media Network.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, we need more...
more networks?
More networks. Pro-democracy networks.
There you go.
All right? And that's what we are here. We're pro-democracy.
Exactly.
All right? So now, let's talk about the border problem just a little bit here. We have always talked about the immigrants, right? Coming into the country.
Right.
Representative Dan Goldman brought up another point about the border, and there is a huge problem with it. And let's check this. I thought this was a really interesting. Cut 72.
Okay.
Sheriff Chapman, do you know how many gun stores are in Mexico?
No, I do not.
One.
Hmm.
Do you know what percentage of guns found in Mexico were originated from the United States?
No, I do not.
70%. HR2 does not discuss gun trafficking from the United States to the cartels, which allows them to control the border and control the fentanyl trafficking.
Time's expired.
So if we want solutions, we ought to look at disarming our cartels, disarming the gun trade.
Gentlemen's
I hope my Republican colleagues will do that.
Your time has expired. We don't want to hear any solutions.
We're
really
that.
Tired of these solutions that you keep coming up with here, Dan Goldman. Thank you.
No.
Thank you very much. You know, and forget about the guns. The guns going across the border into Mexico and supplying the cartels with weaponry. Forget about that. Your time has expired.
Wow.
You know, they do this every time.
Of course.
Every damn time. It just burns me. Okay. All right. And finally, I've got this little bit from Jimmy Kimmel.
Okay.
And he's talking about the Biden, the Trump interview. And in there is a reference to the host who was interviewing Trump, mm-hmm. interviewing Biden at one time. Well,
okay.
It wasn't necessarily true. So let's check this out from Jimmy Kimmel.
She asked Trump about his inauguration speech. He said the speech will focus on unity. He's against it. Trump also said he isn't going to seek retribution against people like Liz Cheney and Adam Schiff, but that they should go to jail. And he also weighed in against the idea of babies who are born in the United States getting what is called birthright citizenship.
You promised to end birthright citizenship. Yeah. On day one. Is that still your plan?
Yeah, absolutely.
The 14th Amendment, though, says that, quote, all persons born in the United States are citizens. Can you get around the 14th Amendment with an executive action?
We're going to have to get a change. We'll maybe have to go back to the people, but we have to end it. We're the only country that has it.
Through an executive action?
You know, we're the only country that has it.
Look for the loopholes.
Even close to true.
Get the loopholes.
He says that over and over again. He says we're the only nation that has it. There are actually 36 countries besides ours that have it. I'd show him this map showing the countries that have it, but he'd probably just color it with a Sharpie. And Donald Trump believes that if you want American citizenship, you have to do it the old-fashioned way. You have to move here from Slovenia, get a modeling contract, and marry the first orange millionaire you meet. We also got an update on the exciting new health care plan Trump's been promising for 9 years.
You said during the campaign you had concepts of a plan. Do you have an actual plan at this point for health care?
Yes, we have concepts of a plan that would be better.
Still just concepts? Do you have a fully developed plan?
Let me explain. Obamacare stinks. It's lousy. There are better answers. If we come up with a better answer, I would present that answer to Democrats and to everybody else.
When will we see your fully developed plan? When are you going to show
it? I don't know that you'll see it at all.
Tap dance.
Unbelievable.
Just,
probably never see it.
No.
Now, we've already talked about the alternatives, what they've already been thinking about doing, and that is lowering the supplemental. Help that people get for their monthly premiums. That is a tax credit, instant tax credit.
Yes.
And then, of course, they're going to put you in high-risk pools where you have a health savings account. Mm-hmm. But remember, you have to have the money to put into the health savings account. And no one has that extra money sitting around to put in a health savings account. That's the problem with those things. Yeah. And everybody doesn't want a high-risk insurance policy.
No.
Anyway,
that's the way it goes.
That's it.
And on it goes. 18 minutes past the hour. Coming up right around the corner, we'll check in with Brittany Merlot, find out about the weekend weather, and also Audrey Brunke talking about Happy Feet of Madison coming up on John and Gordy in the Morning.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
WMDX, John and Gordy in the Morning, a little FM radio for you today.
That's right. Let's go back to the history books.
All right, should we?
Yeah, we feel like we,
I didn't get all that coughing out for nothing.
Well, that's right. True, yeah. You went through a lot of trouble. And now we're going to go through a lot of trouble listening to this.
Okay.
Go ahead.
What else?
You just want to get to your stories, don't you?
No, I don't, actually.
What?
Oh.
It's so depressing, you know. Uh-huh. Politics can be a downer sometimes.
Well, you just got to find better, less politicky stories.
Yeah. That's what I should do. Like technology, right?
Yeah. We got to bring back Media World. We haven't done Media World in forever.
Yeah, we'll get into that. Before you get to the history, let me just say this portion of the John and Gordy Morning Show is brought to you by Verlo Mattress.
All right.
Sleep better and dream bigger on a handcrafted Verlo mattress. You can go check them out on Madison's west side or east side, or just go online at furlough.com. All right.
Back to the history. Today in 1884, Mark Twain, he publishes Adventures of Huckleberry Finn.
Wow.
Oh, boy.
You guys read it, I assume?
Of course.
Yeah. Way back
Great
when.
Book. Great book. One of the very first books to speak in, what's the word? American vernacular, quote-unquote slave vernacular.
Yes.
Right?
And that was a big deal for that as well. Yeah. And also on this day in 1964, MLK was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize
for
all of his civil rights work.
Okay. All right. That's fantastic. What else do you have?
Birthdays?
Are you just keep asking me this because you don't want to move on? I put very little effort into finding this history, John.
I know you did.
Oh, well, thanks for working overtime.
Oh, it's easy stuff.
Does the name Ada Lovelace ring a bell?
No.
Does the name Charles Babbage ring a bell?
Oh, yes, Charles Babbage. Oh, yes. Charles Babbage.
The famous Charles Babbage.
Oh, he was something.
Well, Charles Babbage, he was a mathematician and sort of an engineer and sort of a clockmaker. He worked with clockwork. He designed a mechanical computer back in the 1830s.
Wow.
And Ada Lovelace became his friend, and she was also super into math and wrote programs for this computer. It never actually got fully built until this century. Hmm. So neither of them ever lived to see this thing built or run. She's known as the very first computer programmer writing things for this computer.
What could they program back then? I mean, was it just mathematical?
Basically,
thing?
Yeah, to calculate mathematical sequences and stuff like that way faster than a human could.
Wow.
Kidding. Way back then.
Uh-huh.
That's fascinating.
It's her birthday
Sam.
Today.
That's Ada Lovelace. Mm-hmm. In relation to... No, never mind.
You mean Loveless? Dr. Lovelace from Wild
Wild
West?
Yeah, that's what I meant.
That's all we got for today.
It happened on this day as if you cared.
Mm-hmm. No, we don't.
I was reading about Dr. Lovelace from Wild Wild. It's a TV show if no one remembers it.
He was
the arch-villain.
Robert Conrad?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Was the star of that
And
show.
Michael Dunn was the short person who was Dr. Lovelace.
Okay.
And it says here, Lovelace eventually died of ulcers resulting from anger and frustration, having his plans consistently ruined by Weston Gordon. That's fiction, man.
Yes.
It's fiction.
It was a TV show.
That's right.
It wasn't real. It was a great show, though.
Yeah, it was. It was good because it combined the Old West with technology.
Modern sort of technology.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and they were what would you describe those guys as being? They were sort of detectives.
They were detectives.
In the Wild West.
And then there was Bruce Campbell. He did a Western that had a lot to do with technology. So I think they were in pursuit of something that fell from the skies, like an alien device of some sort, and they had to try and find it. Now, I could be wrong.
I don't remember that.
All right. Well, somebody's got to remember that.
Thanks for sharing.
Sherry out in Horicon has passed along another emoji here.
Yeah.
And it is a troll.
Is it a troll
cup of coffee.
Or an elf? I guess it is.
I don't know. You never know.
It's steaming hot coffee or maybe hot chocolate. I don't know. But she always wishes us a good morning.
Always.
We appreciate that.
Yeah.
I noticed she's on there quite a lot with other shows, too, as well. She says hello to
what?
Them.
Is that
I think
really?
She listens 24 hours a day, I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
Sure. You really.
Doesn't sleep much?
I don't think she cares about any of the other shows.
No?
She starts off the day. Saying good morning to John, Gordy, and Sam. And I think that's all she needs to do all day long.
Okay. All right.
I feel.
We appreciate you, Sherry. Thank you for listening every day.
No allegiance whatsoever. That's
what?
Okay.
What do you mean?
Right. Yeah, that's all right.
What are you talking about?
I you know what? I don't know anymore. So I'm glad somebody finally asked.
Okay. We're getting ready for the holiday season.
Stop me, somebody, please.
John, have you had either too much or too little coffee today?
Or maybe no sleep?
No sleep,
yeah.
Maybe.
Oh,
maybe
that's it. That must be it.
Sherry says yours is the best.
Aww.
Well, that's nice.
Oh,
thank you, Sherry.
Wow. Okay. I'm impressed. All right. Thank you, Sherry.
Okay.
What do we got coming up later
in the
show today?
We got a lot
today?
Of stuff coming up. You know, I'm kind of angry, mad, and a little ticked off.
Why?
About what's going on at the UW and the legislature. I am just at wit's end over this. Well, a professor was doing a lecture, and he criticized RFK Jr. like, well, gee, we wouldn't want to do that, you know. Surprise, surprise, he's an idiot, a moron. But he managed to call him a moron in his class.
Uh-oh.
And that hit the media, right-wing media fan, Dan O'Donnell, the morning guy over there in Milwaukee. Oh, he's not a genius either. He's a moron. But, you know, he's out there promoting this thing. And it hits that fan. And once it hits that right-wing media fan, it spreads all over the damn place.
In the echo chamber.
And the problem is that this is another reason now. The biennial budget is coming up.
Oh, here we go.
Another time. They're going to say, oh, well, see, the liberals are out there.
Yeah.
And then they'll try to tap down what liberals say at the campus, even though they're for free speech. I don't get it. I'm a little confused.
All right. Okay.
Sorry, I'm
take
done.
A breath.
We'll
no,
have
no,
that
you're
and
not.
More We're just, in a little bit.
Yeah, we'll have more coming up.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
This portion of the show is being brought to you by Teeth R Us, the world's largest tooth care center. Remember, when you have a bad tooth pulled at Teeth R Us, we'll remove two healthy teeth absolutely free. And don't forget to bring the kids along to swim in our heated, Olympic-sized 40-foot spit sink.
That's big enough, I think. All right, this is the John and Gordy in the Morning Show. And a little bit later, we're going to have our big story at about 6:50 this morning. Because at 7:05, we've got a special guest. And we'll kind of move things around just a little bit, but right now, as we always do on Thursday morning, we get busted pencils here in the studio. Dr. Tim Slenker is on the line right now. You can watch us too if you want, not on Facebook. Something's wrong there.
We've been banned from Facebook for a day or something.
For a day, that's probably true.
What did we do?
Well, I don't know. We played the wrong song.
Okay.
They don't like it when we play songs.
Good morning, Dr. Tim.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, it's funny. It must be about the radio faces that we bring.
You think so?
Yes. Faces for radio. That's what it's all about. All right. Why don't we get right into this whole thing about, you know, where the direction of education is going? And you, on your recent podcast, you've got two that dropped and you've got one still coming out. Is that correct?
Yeah, we'll have that. And then, you know, this Friday, we're not going to the traditional first downs and Friday nights that are now free throws and face offs. We don't have that episode dropping tomorrow. I just weren't able to get that. But Saturday there will be another full length episode across all of Civic Media at 3:00 and then the download. And we're going to be talking actually we did the interview last night, a guy named Tim Novikoff, super teacher, who's developed an AI app to tutor younger children. And so it's an interesting conversation there.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. I never thought about that. Like preschool, right?
Well, he's looking at, you know, kindergarten through fifth grade.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So AI is spreading like wildfire, it seems like, through the education industry.
It is.
It is. And you know, I think people should, you know, some people I'm sure are going to listen and go, oh my God, you guys are letting this guy pitch ed technology to our kids. What were you doing? We said we want people to know what's out there, and then we want to also have a show where we come back and the CEO and founder, who was a teacher, who then created this app, you know, he wants to come back on and literally take questions from concerned parents and teachers about the technology that he's created, and I really think that's a great opportunity. So we're going to look forward to having him back, but really, you know, tune in on Saturday or listen to the podcast because it's good stuff. But I mean, yeah, but Monday and Wednesday stuff, though, as you're pointing out, good stuff there. Yeah, lots of questions, though, that come up with that.
These are, you know, under 30 minutes, so it's easy to pick one of these up and listen to it. And really, really informative. Like your last guest was the American Federation of Teachers president, Randy Weingarten. And she had a lot of really good things to say about, you know, the public support for public education is out there. We've seen it, you know, in referendums all across the nation who wanted to go private. People voted against that. And then on top of that, there's support for unions. And, you know, Republicans were attacking teacher unions.
Right.
And a lot of people don't know this, but there was an attack on teachers' unions in this state because, not because they hated teachers so much, although they had to eventually vilify them, it was to take the money that teachers' unions gather, take it out of the political arena. They didn't want teachers' unions to donate money to Democratic politicians. That was one of the main reasons why they attacked the teachers' union in Wisconsin.
But I thought money donating to politicians was just a simple expression of free speech.
Well, really? My goodness. How naive can anyone be? Oh, yeah. The whole thing here, you know, it's funding our schools. And, and they've gotten away, Republicans have gotten away with defunding our public education, and it's a slow way of killing it. And then, of course, on the other end, promoting private schools.
But Republicans, you know, John and Gordy, point this out, and we know Republicans are doing this, but the reality here that I think that, and Randy didn't say it directly, but, you know, Johnny and I have been pointing this out, is that support for public education, for unions that is out there, has not been harnessed by Democrats in a way to make that movement count towards voters, particularly those voters who feel like they're not seen and not part of the conversation, where actually that grassroots, that blue collar connection in public schools, in unions, guess what? Democrats, you've abandoned a core base of a movement that could be incredibly influential. And what are you going to do to get it back? And as opposed to, because, you know, defending and attacking the Republicans for what they're about to do needs to occur, but there has to be a movement within the Democratic Party to realize that there is strength and community and unity in bringing these populist things. And public schools are a great example of a missed opportunity. And as you point out, you know, again, Kentucky, right? Mm-hmm. You know, 80-20 in favor of Trump, 75, though, in favor of their public schools. Mm-hmm. So the idea that public schools also then continued to be something is, and again, so what are we going to do? And are those people who support public schools, how do you then bring them into the fold to let them know that to keep those public schools that they so value, they also have to then realize, and how do we have conversations with them, that the support you're putting for Republicans, though, boy, that could be really costly to your public schools.
Yeah, we've talked about this briefly before, about how communities organize around a public school. I mean, they have events there. It brings everybody, families, neighborhoods together. And I think you're right. We're missing that opportunity to take that and promote that as one of the main reasons why we want those public schools in our communities.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and the conversations there. And so, you know, and this is why I really appreciate the work that Civic Media is doing, because, you know, embedding ourselves as a media to also tell those stories of, you know, for us, what we do on Busted Pencils is try to tell those stories of the public schools, the communities that are there, and to create the support where we know, you know, 70% of our neighborhoods and the people that live in them support and want thriving public schools. We just need to also make sure that we have conversations that amplify those voices.
Yeah, and it brings the communities together, you know, families together. They get to meet each other. You know, I've had that experience myself, and I'm not a person who likes to go to events like that. but because I had kids, we went to those events, and I actually had a good time in meeting some of the individuals there and a lot of the teachers. I thought it was one way to just bring communities together. And when you see a school, a dead school, sitting there just, you know, gathering dust and, you know, being used for storage, it breaks your heart. You know, and you know a lot of people had, you know, been going to that school and brought a lot of the families together. So it's something that binds communities. And I think if we jump on that kind of bandwagon, which is a true bandwagon, it's not a fake one. You know,
we really mean it. It's legitimate, and that's the kind of, you know, you've been seeing these discussions now going on, you know, what went wrong, and then comparisons to, you know, the right wing has its own media ecosphere. Well, you know what, I think there's also, and I hate to say left, but there is a populist kind of more progressive movement of, and again, let's point out, Civic Media is a part of the ecosphere for a populist progressive movement, and the conversations that we have are incredibly important. You know, again, amplifying those, particularly of our neighborhoods and our communities.
Right.
We're talking with Dr. Tim Slecker from Busted Pencils, and taking your calls and texts at 608-879-8255. Dr. Tim, what is the impact of parent-teacher organizations anymore? It used to be the PTA, and then I mean, do they still exist? Do people are they part of the picture? In this day and age, and you know, what do they think about AI coming in and teachers' unions and all of that? Give us the overview.
I wouldn't look at it. My wife was vice president and treasurer of the PTO in our community, you know, and a very thriving and active parent-teacher organization, largely around the idea, though, of supporting that school and that school district, you know, through fundraisers and relationships like that, you know, creating things such as, you know, potlucks for the teachers and just trying to create that. It's not a political organization in that sense, you know, very much just supportive in that role. And they continue to be those places. The reality starts to be a problem when you look at some of the PTOs as providing support and funding and services that we as communities and neighborhoods, and this is the political issue of going, PTOs are actually providing some of the essential supports that public schools can't provide because we continue to defund them, you know, and that is one of those kind of sad realities of going, you know, if it wasn't for the PTO, if it wasn't for the football boosters, if it wasn't for the choir out raising their funds, they couldn't do those activities that actually are essential. So I think in that we need to look at them from that standpoint. I don't know that we're going to see PTOs become political in that sense. And I don't know. I mean, you know, maybe we can have, well, and I say, you know, Moms for Liberty, that's the PTO gone wrong.
Yeah. I was going to say, I really haven't heard much from PTOs.
Right.
We never hear about them anymore.
No, you don't. And I just wonder how much of, you know, of an impact do they have anymore, or if parents are just too busy working two jobs to participate or have any kind of influence other than doing bake sales and, you know, fundraisers and things like that.
I think that's more also the reality, too, is that how much involvement can you as a parent really dedicate to that type of, when we know that the reality of a two household income or working multiple jobs is the reality of making it economically.
Well, you know, they're talking about parents' rights now. Forget about the PTOs. Now we have to have parents' rights. And it's, I like to call it bad parents' rights.
Yeah.
These are parents that want to foist off their responsibilities onto the schools. You know, report my kid's problems to me at home. And I think that is probably one of the most divisive things we could do to the teacher-student relationship that I think has been growing in the past 20 years.
Yeah. Well, first of all, the whole idea of parents' rights, remember, this is the rights. You know, masterful use of language and a movement to kind of create this, like, as if parents didn't have rights for all this time. Right. You know, like, we're restoring something that was taken from them. Mm-hmm. You know, parents, you know, kids are rounded up every morning and ushered into buses and sent to schools and locked down.
Right.
And, you know, and parents, you didn't know what was going on in those schools because your rights were given up. And so we're going to now be for parents' rights.
It's so ridiculous. And I call it bad parents' rights. So they really they could ban their own students, their own kids, from reading certain books if they want. They don't have to ban it from the community.
Exactly. Right? It's like you have always had your rights to stop your child from being in a curriculum, being in a play, because that's always been the right of a parent. It's never been lost. You don't have the right to deny my kids the education I want them to have. And that's kind of what you're saying, John.
Yes.
It's bad parents' rights because you're not at, you know, you want to take away from me and my kids the independence and the freedom and the liberty to be a really, experienced learner.
Yep, absolutely. We'll continue this conversation after a break here.
Back with more of John and Gordy
and Busted
in
Pencils.
A moment.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
.7 WMDX, John and Gordy in the morning.
It is 7:52 and 41 degrees already. We're expecting a high close to 50 today.
All right, let's forget about politics completely now.
Oh, please.
I am done.
Put it aside.
I am done. We're going to protest the city. The city thinks that they're going to put 20 miles per hour speed limits in residential areas. My ass are going to do that. That is the end.
What do you mean, man?
I'm moving out. This is it. I'm moving to another city. I can't handle it here anymore.
Live in Middleton. What do you say?
Well, yeah, that's right.
The Common Council approved the change following a successful implementation of the 20 is plenty program in two trial neighborhoods.
Well, that's catchy. 20 is plenty. Oh, now I'm sold on it. Yeah, I'm a sucker. Yeah, well, I'll go with
that. What's their measure of success exactly?
Well, Madison is joining other progressive cities across the country, including Minneapolis, New York City, Portland, and Seattle. They've done this. They've lowered the speed limits on local streets. The research is clear. It's safer for residents, makes neighborhoods more livable. 20 miles per hour is plenty on our local streets, says Mayor Satya Rhodes Conway. That's a quote from her.
That's wrong.
What do you mean?
The whole thing is wrong.
It's
you don't
a common
do that.
Sense
no, it isn't you, common sense.
It is. Pedestrian fatalities in the U.S. have increased 84%.
Oh, in the U.S.? Well, that's not Madison. What the hell are they doing 20 miles
per hour? We're part of the United States.
Awful.
Last time I checked.
God.
It's been increasing. Pedestrian fatalities from 2009 to 2022 increased 84%.
So I found this story on the Madison subreddit over the weekend.
Yeah.
And there were just tons of people commenting about how they hated this story. Yeah. One of them said, what happened in 2009? The iPhone came out. Everyone is on their phones these days, and that's probably one of the large reasons why pedestrian fatalities has gone up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with the speed limit.
I am all for trying to make the roads safer, but I don't... Catherine just walked in, and she's listening on her app, so that's throwing me for a loop. I'm hearing myself twice. But anyway...
Yes.
The speed limits on city streets, lowering them doesn't inherently make them safer, because if a road is designed where it feels fine to drive at, say, 45 miles an hour and your speed limit is 35 miles an hour, that doesn't mean people are going to drive 35 miles an hour. They're going to drive however fast it feels like the road is safe.
There it is, folks. That's the wisdom of Generation Z right there.
Well, that's why Madison is offering 20 is plenty yard signs to everybody. Available in multiple.
I'm putting up three of them in my yard.
It's available in multiple languages, and they're free of charge.
20 is plenty.
To residents.
20 is plenty.
No, 20
is plenty.
Oh, my God. What is wrong with you people?
Well, there's speed bumps all over the place.
Well, there are, sure.
So, you go
slow there, but the then you speed on the... Look, what is wrong with you? I think Sam Gensy in there spoke wisdom just a few moments ago.
What?
That these roads... walking in the room at the same time. He can't drive over the speed limit.
These roads are designed for certain speeds.
They're not.
Now they're going to artificially lower the speed limit on streets that were designed for 35 and 40 miles per hour.
None of you guys live downtown. I live right downtown by the Capitol.
Yeah.
East Washington. It's a long straight road right up to the Capitol.
Yes.
There's people all night long, not exactly drag racing, but just going zooming down that road because I can hear them. The speed limit on that road is either 25 or 30, depending upon where you're at.
Right.
Yep.
There are some people that go that speed, and then there's a couple people that go way faster than that. And they're the ones that are causing problems. If you have a speed limit that's a certain speed, and then there's a couple people who just completely disregard it, I think it's more of an issue than if you had a higher speed limit overall.
Okay, now, you know, it's usually 20 in a school zone.
Right.
During school.
Yes.
Have you ever driven 20 miles per hour?
Yes, because I want to see the baby.
It's like you're not even accelerating. You might as well just let it idle.
Scoot by.
Oh, my God.
Look at the babies coming out of the school.
Well, the Madison Police Department will be out writing tickets all holiday season.
Yeah, I know. That's the thing.
I want
Merry Christmas,
Madison. You live in Middleton. What's the problem? You can go as fast as you want in Middleton.
No, they already lowered the speed limit in Middleton.
I'm making a bet. I want to say that you're going to come up with a $300 bill.
I'll tell you what.
For the whole holiday.
People in Middleton almost moved out of Middleton because they lowered the speed limit to 30 miles per hour on University Avenue. And that sucks. So now, I can't imagine 20. I honestly cannot wrap my head around 20.
You're such a bad boy.
How fast is it by your house, the speed limit? What is the speed limit by your place?
It's 30.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are people going 30?
That's too slow.
Really? You'd rather have them speeding 40, 45, 50 by your place?
I live in a very popular street there next to the Beltline.
Yes.
And they're thinking about putting speed bumps in front of my damn house. It's like revenge. We know John lives there and he hates people that go slow. So they're going to put speed bumps in front of my house.
Oh, everybody knows where you live in your neighborhood. Okay. Well, we'll see how that goes. All right.
This is wrong. This is wrong. Okay. So wrong. I can't stand it. And they come up with a clever little way to describe it.
20
and then
is
all of a sudden, that's great. That sounds so good and logical. I'm just going to go along with all this stupidity.
So you're not putting a 20 is plenty yard sign in your yard, right?
I'm going to have 20 is too slow signs all
go
over
faster.
The neighborhood.
Go faster.
That's right.
Okay.
Oh, God.
All right.
What a mess. All right. Well, this town is going to slow down to a point where we might as well live in a gigantic city because it'll take that long to get across town.
Okay.
It says, God, you guys need a new morning show. Okay.
See what you did there?
I know.
Okay. Tomorrow, Hillary Pham will be
here. Well, they live in Elmore. What am I supposed to do about Elmore? You know, they probably already have 15 miles per hour.
Okay. Tomorrow, we will find out about equitability tailoring. for physically disabled folks.
Yeah, that's good.
Actually,
it's going to
be
topic.
Very interesting. Yep. Stephanie Miller is next. We'll talk to you tomorrow morning, 6 a.m., bright and early. Have a great day.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.